I was doing some investigation this week in preparation for tonight. Do you realize that mankind has been on Earth for about 6,000 years? And I wanted to find out how many years have gone by in which there was not a war during that particular year, any particular year. You know what the total is? Nope. It's a little less than 300. So I'll round it off to 300 years, 6,000 years. That's rounded off. That means for every 20 years that goes by, 19 of them will be spent with somewhere a war going on in the world. One out of 20 will there be where there is relative peace. Do a little bit more math. In the course of a lifetime, if 80 years is an average lifetime, that means a person will only have 4 years in their lifetime where there's no war going on. Why is it that the world is in such a mess? Why can't we just get along? Back in the 1960s when I was growing up, the hippies, revolting against the war in Vietnam, had all kinds of songs about ending the war and giving peace a chance and why don't we all live together and all that kind of stuff that was going on. And I don't know that that had any influence on the events of the day, but we got out of Vietnam in the beginning of the 1970s. But it wasn't long until we were in Kuwait. And after Kuwait, we were in Iraq. And after Iraq, we were in Afghanistan. And after Afghanistan, well, now we have the thing with Russia and the Ukraine. And although we are not immediately involved in fighting, there's war going on. I don't know that I've ever experienced in my lifetime a whole year where there has not been a war. Why is it? Why can't mankind live peaceably together? Well, the answer is quite simple. If man is out of fellowship with God, and he is, then man cannot be in fellowship with other mankind. We are all created in the image and likeness of God. And therefore, if that image is being distorted by sin, which it is, then there's going to be a problem associating one with another. And it will manifest itself on national levels where country will be at odds with other countries. I want to look at the effects of sin tonight that led to Calvary, that led to Good Friday. I want to look at some specific manifestations of sin by looking at a couple of different people and how they just couldn't get along. The first one is found in Luke chapter 23, beginning at verse 13. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, three groups here, chief priests, that would be your religious group, the rulers, your political group, and the people, the common people, said unto them, you have brought this man, speaking of Christ, excuse me, you have brought this man unto me as one that perverts the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I've examined him. We've gone through all the things, all the accusations. None of them have been proven to be true. This man is completely innocent. And what did the Jews do? Verse 21, but they cried, saying, crucify him. Crucify him. First group that I want to look at are these Jews. They feared Jesus Christ. They feared him because if his claims to being Israel's Messiah were genuine, the chief priests realized they'd soon be out of a job. He would replace them. Political rulers realized they'd soon be out of a job because he would be king. The common people feared him because the lifestyle that they were accustomed to would radically have to change. So they feared him. They didn't want to lose their jobs. They didn't want to change their lifestyles around. Instead, they sought satisfaction rather than righteousness and justice. When anyone in the world has a higher priority than doing right, than doing just, for whatever motive there may be, there's going to be problems. They feared. And so they put aside righteousness. They said, we don't care that you found him innocent. We want what we want. Fortunately, I find that in a lot of rulers today, both in the church and within the government and amongst people. We want what we want. We don't care about arguing whether it's right or wrong. We want what we want. And we're going to insist upon it. And if it means crucifying somebody, if it means invading another country and killing innocent people, we want what we want. Last night at the funeral service for Jewel Ripple, I did a little study on what we call Maundy Thursday. And one of the things that I noted about Maundy Thursday was that in the upper room, Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. Washing the feet was something that the host of a dinner would pass off to his servant to do because it was a menial task. It wasn't, the host would be too dignified to do that kind of work. Well, Jesus didn't have any servants. And so he girded a towel around himself and he washed the feet of his disciples by himself. You know what that took? Humility. Paul wrote to the Philippians, and speaking of Christ, it says, he wrote to them and said, but he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Humility, the ability to say, I could be wrong. And of course, we're never wrong, are we? You know, it's the old joke, I thought I made a mistake once, but I was wrong. Unfortunately, when leaders insist upon what they want rather than dealing with whether the issue is right or wrong, hostility brews. Here's the second one, Pilate. Well, verse 15 or 16, I will therefore chastise him and release him. For of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. Pilate had a fear as well. He feared for his job. Now, he was employed by Rome. Basically, he had two responsibilities, collect the taxes and keep peace within the kingdom. Never have met a political person who had any problem collecting taxes. Keeping peace is another story. How was he going to do that? Pilate was not a Jew. He had no particular affinity for the Jews. His loyalties lied with Rome. But in order for Rome to be happy with him, the Jews had to be happy with him. And therefore, there would be peace. So, Pilate was willing also to forsake righteousness and justice by appeasing the Jews. Notice the transition here. He said, look, I haven't found anything. I'm going to release him. And they said, oh, no. Well, I'll chastise him. Oh, no. He begged with them, hey, look, I've told you, there's nothing worth. This would not be the right thing to do. And they insisted that they crucify him. And basically what it was, they were having a temper tantrum. They were insisting what they wanted. And Pilate knew that if he didn't give it to them, they'd be mad at him. And if they were mad at him, Rome would be mad at him. He'd be out of a job. So what did he do? Well, that's what you want. That's what you get. He put aside righteousness and justice in order to keep some people happy. More and more as time goes by, I'm seeing this in parenting. Child puts up a little temper tantrum, and instead of dealing with what's right and what's wrong and instructing, we want the child to be quiet, keep peace. And so we give them a little something of what they want. I'll chastise him. Well, that wasn't good enough. But the thing of it is, when the Jews realized that Pilate was not going to stand firm on, hey, this isn't right, I'm willing to compromise. Once they found out he was willing to give an inch, they were wanting to take a yard. And they said, chastisement will not work for us. We want him crucified. Whenever people put aside what's right and wrong in order to be satisfied in what they're doing, to keep the peace, without righteousness, there won't be any peace. And as I spoke last Sunday morning, 70 AD, the righteousness of God prevailed upon the city of Jerusalem when the Roman government came and wiped it out. Third group, keep your finger here. I'm going to come back here in just a moment. Turn with me to John chapter 19. John 19, beginning at verse 1. Then Pilate, therefore, took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers, there's the third group, plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. And they said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. They mocked him. The soldiers feared no one. They were the power of Rome. Pilate had the authority of Rome. The soldiers had the military power of Rome. And generally speaking, people don't stand up to soldiers and win very often. They're trained in combat. You just don't do that. And so these soldiers said, we can do whatever we want. And now, seeing what was going on with Pilate and the Jews and how the Jews didn't want him and how Pilate was willing to scourge him, well, we can do the same. And what they were interested in doing was pleasing themselves, not others, themselves. Let's have a little fun. Let's go through this because, after all, we're going to have to go out and guard this guy. So what are we going to get out of it? Well, let's have a little fun. And they mocked the very Prince of Peace. They thought that their their military power was greater than the power of God. They didn't realize who they were reckoning with. The one that they were mocking spoke 4,000 years before that, and the world came into existence. Talk about power. He could have spoken right then and there, and they would have been gone with just a word. Which is interesting, because when you get to Revelation chapter 20, and you have the second advent of Christ at the Battle of Armageddon, it says that a sharp sword goes out of his mouth, and with it the armies of the world are slain. That could have happened 2,000 years ago. But they didn't realize. And they said, okay, we'll have a little fun and everything will be just fine. It wasn't. One last one. Come back to Luke chapter 23. Drop down a few verses to verse 39. One of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save yourself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God, seeing you are in the same condemnation? This man is looking at righteousness. Notice what he says. And we indeed justly. We're criminals. We are. For we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing. But we're in condemnation. What did this man fear? He feared death and the consequent judgment of God for sin. How could he resolve the issue? And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He recognized Jesus for who he was, or should I say is. Lord, remember me. He didn't call him by his first name. He called him by his title, Kyrios, which is a translation of the Old Testament Hebrew word Jehovah. He recognized him as a deity, as God the Son. He recognized him as one having authority over all things. He recognized him as one who would one day rule this world in a kingdom, which means that he was going to die and resurrect. So he believed in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, although he didn't quite understand all the theological concepts of it. But his faith was very simple. And the response of Jesus was, I can do that. Today, you will be with me in paradise. When this man died, he was at peace with God. And interestingly enough, he was at peace with everyone else around him. The solution to why there is war in the world is that we have leaders that have no interest in being humble. We have leaders that are interested in just appeasing people to get their votes. We have people that are interested in just gratifying themselves rather than what's doing right. And unfortunately, we have a church that's too lazy sometimes to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with people who need to hear. For you see, if we want to have peace in the world, and who doesn't? The necessity is to get people right with God. And when people are right with God who created them, they can be right with one another. Will that ever happen until Jesus Christ comes? 100%? Nope. But I'm willing to be satisfied with as much as humanly as possible by sharing what Jesus Christ did on this day, which forgave my sins as well as the sins of the whole world. And in that way, we just might have a year or two peace until Jesus comes. I want to conclude tonight with this good old hymn, O Sacred Head, Now Wounded. You will stand with me, we'll sing, and then we'll be dismissed in prayer. Thank you.